Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. So good to see you here. I'm glad the Lord's here. I'm glad nothing takes Him by surprise. Amen. Luke 16. We're going to start reading in verse number 19. For the Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass," because it always does, "that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Boy, ain't it amazing how God can dispatch angels? Boy, I'm glad when I die, there'll be angels dispatched and take my soul to glory. I'm glad my soul is guarded. The devil try to get my soul and run into hell with it. But honey, I'm glad the angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear Him. The devil love to get a butcher knife cut my throat this morning. If we could just see what's going on in here, we'd all be amazed. Then he said, "Came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, Why, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of the Lord. Father, we come to you now these last minutes of our service. Lord, I need direction. I stand in need of Thee every hour, O God. I pray that, Lord, that You would do Your convicting work this morning. And Lord, You'd send the Holy Ghost and blow the winds of revival in our church. I pray not only would You do Your convicting work, but Lord, would you do Your convincing work this morning? Would You save the closest one to this place? Help us now. I ask You to make preaching easy for me. Touch each heart in this place. Let us leave different how we come. And Father, I'll be grateful because I know where my help comes from. In Jesus' name I ask You. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on this thought this morning on some men from the unseen world. Some men from the unseen world. Isn't it amazing we hear a lot about heaven, but yet Jesus Himself wrote more about hell than He did about heaven. I'm glad that in the unseen world, God has taken a Bible and He's pulled the veil off of a terrible place that men, women, boys, and girls may look in and see from an unseen world. As I was noticing yesterday evening, there's some men that I'd like to point out in this passage of Scripture. And by the way, this is not a parable. No place in your Bible do you see that a real name was ever used in a parable. Here Abraham, the father of our faith, stands waiting on the redeemed. Now, first of all, we see the desires of a begging man. In verse number 21, he said that he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The desires of a begging man. I'm so glad one day that I became a beggar. I won't tell you, honey, God died for all, but He's not the beggar. Sinners are the beggar. And so don't you think that God is going to bring you into His kingdom by no other way. The Bible says you must be converted and become as a little child. Pride to keep you out of heaven this morning. And here we see in this passage of Scripture the desires of a begging man. I'm glad God gives us what we need. Honey, I'm going to tell you, ain't you glad that He saves beggars this morning? I'm so glad in 1981 that I became a beggar. I'd have walked from here to Birmingham if God had saved me. But He wouldn't want me to walk to Birmingham. He wanted me to become a beggar and realize that I needed a Savior and call upon Him by faith. And I'm glad that day He saved me. So we see the desires of a begging man. Number two, we see this other Bible character. Now we see the death of a buried man. He said in verse number 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried." Now, there's no doubt, as the world could look upon this rich man, that he had a nice burial. Now, I want to say today that burying is the Bible way. I said Wednesday night, and I say this morning, I want to be buried. I don't want to be put in an incinerator and gas put on me and burn me up. I believe that a Christian principle there, we ought to be buried. Somebody say amen right there. You say, well, it's a lot cheaper. Well, may be a lot cheaper, but it's just the principle of the thing. Amen. We ought to be buried. And we see here the death of a buried man. You know, a lot of times when we look in a coffin, ain't it awful to not know where they are? I mean, really, we walk around and we look in a coffin. Does it ever dawn on you that they're in one of two places, heaven or hell? Has it ever dawned on you that when this comes to pass where you are, that you're going to be in one of two places, heaven or hell? The death of a buried man. I get to thinking about probably all the songs that were sung, and man, all the things that arrived in his life. Probably the Kiwanis boy showed up, and probably that crowd of the who's who, you know, that hobnogging crowd probably showed up and said, man, wasn't he successful? No, he was a fool. Boy, didn't he have it all? No, he didn't have nothing, because everything he had, he didn't take no peace with him. I've never seen a U-Haul hooked behind a coffin. And let me tell you this morning, friend, you better know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You better know that you've been washed in the blood. You better know you've been to Calvary's cross. Oh, didn't he do well, preacher? You listen to me and listen to me well. I'd rather be in a pair of overalls and Brogan shoes this morning sitting on a church pew knowing that my name was written down yonder in glory land than to own every acre in Carroll County. I'd rather know that I saved this morning than to have every dollar in the bank. We see the death of a buried man. You know, death is impartial. Young person, God's been dealing with you a while. I want to tell you this morning, you got no promise of tomorrow. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'll get saved later. I'll get saved tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Simply may not come. But we see this death of a buried man. We see the desires of a begging man. But in verse 23, I want you to notice, there's the destruction of a burning man. He said in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Now I want to say this, I don't care what any religion says, hell is not in this life. It's not hell on earth. There's payday coming someday. And so there's the destruction of a burning man. Notice what happened. He said, plural, in verse 23. He said, I've lifted up my eyes being in torments, plural. That word is torture. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hell's a real place. Hell's not just a slain word, but hell's a real place. Boy, aren't you glad you don't have to go there? Matter of fact, I want to say something about hell. The Bible said he created hell for the devil and his angel. A lot of men preach on predestination. If predestination was right, that verse wouldn't be in your Bible. Matter of fact, if predestination was right, it'd be a lot of verses wouldn't be in our Bible. He paid a ransom for all. The destruction of a burning man. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Now, hell's not in this life. Hell's in the life to come if you've never been saved. I'm not talking about being baptized. I was raised in a church, taught me if I just be baptized and wash away my sins. That's not in my Bible. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, not water. I can be baptized in that pond, honey, that every catfish knows my name. But I'm glad in 1981 I left the tub and got under the blood of the Lord Jesus and He washed me from my sin. And I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad I got something a whole lot better than just waiting to see if I make it. He said, I write these things unto you that you may know, honey, I know. You listen to me. I know that I've been washed in the blood. I know the Holy Ghost lives in me because I can't do the things I used to do and ain't the man I used to be. Thank God for that. I'd rather be around spiritual things. Love not the world. World don't have a hold on me. He said, you know, you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. I love Christian focus more. I love being around God's house. So here we see this truth in the Word of God. There's the destruction of a burning man. And then you'll notice in verse 23, there's the description of a believing man. He said, came to pass the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Where's he at now, preacher? Oh, he's in the abode with God. You see, in the Old Testament culture, when a saved person died, they went in the heart of the earth into Abraham's bosom. But honey, when Jesus died on that cross, and He got out of that grave, the Bible says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. What was He doing? He was freeing captives. He went on the mercy spring to the mercy seat in heavenly places, and He sprinkled His blood. And when God seen that blood, it appeased Him. He is the propitiation of our sin. He left the portals of glory, and He went in the heart of the world. And I believe He stepped in, and there was David on his harp. I believe He looked and said, "My goodness, this is the one that said He was a-coming. I'm glad one glorious day He's a-coming." And He still is setting captives free. Can you imagine when He said, "Hey, boys, we're going on to glory"? The Bible said that He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Could you imagine that day when He went and locked the paradise side of Sheol and led them out of Abraham's bosom? And since Christ done that for me and you, now the Bible says, now to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And now people that died and went to hell in that culture and in that day and yesterday, they're still in the wicked side of Sheol. In the burning side of Sheol. And the Bible said in Revelation, He says that hell gave up them that were in it and was cast into the lake of fire. My goodness, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell this morning. I'm glad Jesus led captivity captive. I'm glad He got me out of a bad place. So now when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so certainly this morning we see now the description of a believing man. He's at peace. The angels come and go. You know, you've heard of the death of the saints of God. They say, "My Lord, I see an angel." What's that about? Oh, he makes the crossing easy. Can I tell you, thank God, I'm getting encouraged. Can I tell you, I'm glad that the death ain't got no hold on me, honey. The psalmist David said, "In the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Thank God, I'm glad the death ain't got a hold on me this morning. Lord Jesus, they roll me in this church. Y'all come by and shout the victory. Say, thank God, He got an escort yonder in the glory land. My goodness, don't be... I don't like them movies that they play around dead people. I don't like it. Brings too many sad memories to me. Thank God we ought to have a choir up singing. Everybody come around, we ought to have a full choir singing. "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Honey, I'm telling you what, thank God the grave ain't got a hold on me. Ain't it bad? I was reading obituaries the other day in the Carroll County paper. Have you ever just noticed, just reading obituaries, and you'll notice if people are saved or not? You know how you know if they're saved or not? Because if they're saved, was they affiliated with any kind of spiritual place? So-and-so was a good painter. So-and-so was a good landscaper. So-and-so did this. What about the house of God? What about getting right with Jesus and getting born again by the grace of God? When you check out, they write something in the newspaper. Hey, he's a soldier of the cross and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't be a squalling over him. I'm just telling you how it is, folks. Eternity's too long to be wrong. Thank God. Hey, Mr. Dry, thank God I'm saved this morning. Ain't it amazing He saved something like me and you? Don't y'all line up and say, "Oh, that poor old preacher. Lord, poor old preacher." You know what some of y'all going to be doing anyway? Some of y'all going to be eating donuts and drinking coffee saying, "Poor old preacher." Y'all let this church turn liberal, son. You're going to have it to pay. I'm going to convince him to do something. You know, the Bible says, "Dead yet speaketh." Look what a different place his belief got him. You know, if you'd look at this fellow, you wouldn't thought he'd had nothing. I think about Brother Grover. Brother Grover come to our church in his overalls. Miss Horan have his little white shirt starched down. You know, you look at Brother Grover, he drove a little old red, I guess 70-something model Ford truck. You look at a fella like that, get in there, a pair of overhauls on, an old truck sort of out of date. You think, Lord, poor old Grover ain't got nothing. Oh, Lord. But he's probably one of the richest men that ever walked in this church. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm a feeling my salvation this morning. Don't tell me salvation ain't my feeling. I feel what I got this morning. Oh, Lord, don't tell me that you can't have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You think, honey, when I got baptized at 12 years old, that I got what I got? Oh, no, honey, but Jesus come by one day and saved me from my sins and washed me in His blood. Now I got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ain't got a lot in a bank, but I got a lot in the bank. But I got food on my table. That's all He asked us. That's all He promised us. We'd have food on our table. You say, preacher, what about the water I need next July? July ain't here yet. But well, I wish I could sing. I'd strike out singing. You know, isn't it amazing in this passage of Scripture, there's the description of a believing man. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You notice that though rich man was buried, poor man was planted. He got up. What are you saying? Well, I'm saying this. It makes a big difference in who you believe in this morning. Look what happened to him. There's the desires of a begging man, the death of a buried man. There's the destruction of a burning man, description of a believing man. But now, 27, there's the discussion of a burdened man. Then he said, I pray you, Father, you would send him to my father's house because I got five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You know, I was thinking this week, those that we're going to baptize tonight, wouldn't that be a blessing if every one of them had a burden? Wouldn't that be a blessing, Brother Tim, if we that have been saved a long time would genuinely get a burden? Let me ask you something. Them boys and girls you growed up with, are they saved? It may surprise you what a burden to do for your family. You see, when you get in hell, a burden's too late. I heard a preacher preach a message one time, some things in hell ought to be in the church. There's praying going on, but it wasn't helping him. And there's a burden going on, but Brother Ricky's burden was too late. I think about Miss Lisa, Brother Norman. I think a lot about Miss Amanda and Brother Daniel. I think about people that's been invited to come to church and God saves them. I wonder if we got a burden like that of a church. I wonder what we could see God do. He said, I got five brothers. I wish you'd go tell them not to come to this place. And you know, that ought to be our great commission this morning, church. Telling sinners not to go to that place. Oh, Lord, if He would just give us a burden. And you know, this is an amazing thing. I wonder why it's easier to talk to somebody you don't even know about Christ instead of them that you love the most. That's always amazing. A lot of you said, well, I want to see my loved ones saved. Well, what are you doing to see them get saved? I see in this passage the discussion of a burdened man. He said, I got five brothers. Would you go tell them about Jesus lest they come to this place of torment? And then lastly, I see the declaration of a bold man. Do you see what this man declared? He said, go tell my brothers not to come to this place. And this is what Abraham, the father of our faith, said. They've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, God calls preachers. And you better listen to what they got to say. He said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The Bible said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And I'm glad of that this morning. The declaration of a bold man. He said, hear what the prophets have got to say. I'm glad I heard the word of the Lord. That ought to be one of the greatest challenges of a Christian that we'd ever face this morning. To go tell others, lest they too go to that place. Miss Sherry, come. I want to ask a question this morning. And I want to ask this. If you want to be saved, you can be. That's the good news of the gospel. That Jesus died for all, and He died to keep all. And then there's the Great Commission in that story. We ought to have a burden for us. If all of us would get in on the Great Commission, this place wouldn't hold us. Brother Adam, sometimes somebody just needs to hear that they care about you. Aren't you glad you found out somebody cares for you? Aren't you glad you found out the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves? Brother David, what's your number? Tim, y'all come, whatever you need to do this morning. I've tried to mind the Lord. Now, I've tried to remind us about a real place today. Young lady, have you been saved by the glorious grace of Jesus? Sir, have you been saved by the grace of God? If not, you can be this morning. But you're going to have to believe on what He's done for you on a cross. Some of you got family lost. You know what y'all do? Y'all come pray for them. Some of you ain't got no more of a burden than nothing. Y'all say, God, give me a burden that I may simply share what You've done for me. While we sang this morning, whatever you need, you come. Whatever you need, come this morning. Don't know what it is, but won't you come? If you need to be saved, come.